Can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
It's such a good
but dove
movie.
With horses.
Yes. So
like that was her thing.
And that was because she was blind. It was all the sound.
Yeah.
So she would like hear the horse running up the ramp, hear
so
the horse.
Babes,
no
you,
one
to... You were one of those white girls who loved horses growing up? That was you in this movie?
Yeah, the movie is really good.
It's a great movie. It's
did you have your Anne Frank with you while you watched it?
My Anne
not
Frank?
Anne,
not Anne Frank.
What is it? My Helen Keller? Just
no,
stop.
No,
my... Is that what you mean?
No. I meant the rainbow Frank. Fucking things.
Your Lisa what Frank.
The Lisa oh Frank. Did you have your Lisa Frank too?
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Tea Time with Raven and Miranda.
Ding, ding.
Today, we are joined by someone that we have
loved
for a minute,
yes.
Loved from afar, up close, had an amazing dinner with once upon a time.
Good food.
If you guys haven't guessed that I'm talking about Drake Bell, then I don't know what you're doing.
You
with
better
your life.
Ring that bell.
Drake Bell!
Ring my bell.
Welcome to the pod.
Thank you. Thank you for having
so
me.
So happy
great
to have
be
you here.
Yeah.
I did not realize that you were this tatted.
I didn't know. Babes. Me neither.
I had
show
no
it off,
idea.
Bro.
Oh yeah, I have a few tats. It was funny.
Just a
I was
few.
Looking in the monitors too, because I always have. I usually have like jackets on.
Yeah, right. You did.
Like, yeah,
and I love that it's sleeve. Classic sailor color.
That's my thing.
Patchwork.
I love. I grew up on rockabilly, 50s hot rods, pinup girls, pompadours, and so all my tats are like traditional.
Do you have a favorite?
I really like this one. I don't know why.
That's cool.
I think it's just because it's so well done, and it's just kept the cut. Like, it looks the same as the day I got it.
Mm.
And then I have some for my son down here that I really like. Like, I have some Angry Birds.
So cute.
He's obsessed with Angry Birds.
I used to be called an Angry Bird.
Really?
You are an angry raven.
I am an Angry Bird.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I'm an Angry Bird.
So before we started recording, we were talking and catching up a little bit, and you were about to tell us something about The Amanda Show.
Yeah, I was telling you about, we were talking about Amanda, and I was saying, for me, working on The Amanda Show, when I first got on The Amanda Show, I was obsessed with all that already. And so Amanda Bynes was Carol Burnett to me. I mean, so getting to audition for her show, and I think when I auditioned for it, they didn't tell us what it was. They just said sketch comedy show for Nickelodeon. They didn't give us a script or anything. We had to kind of improvise. It was like an SNL audition, basically. But then when it got down to the wire, when we were like third, fourth audition or whatever, I realized it was the Amanda Show, that they were spinning Amanda off onto her own show. And that's when I went to my dad and I was like, no way. This is like Amanda Bynes. Like, this is no way I'm going to get to meet her. Like,
that's funny.
You know, and for all these years, it's been, she's always been like.
Yeah, she's
and
she's
then
up
when
there.
We got to work together, it was always learning from her and watching her because she's the veteran. She's the one who. You know, I watch and I know all of her characters and I know all of her lines. Like I can, you know, I watched it at home growing up for all these years. I was always like, you know, this is really cool that I get to be like the Harvey Korman to her, Carol Burnett. Mm-hmm. But also at the same time, like, wow, I get to like, she's like, I'm at school. Like she's, cause everything came.
She was masterclass.
It literally was a masterclass because you watch people, cause I grew up. I was obsessed with Jerry Lewis, Dean Martin, Abbott and Costello, Lucille Ball, like comedy greats, Dick Van Dyke, you know? And there's something about that era and even, you know, the Sinatra era. It's like that, it's the
beautiful.
Effortless, like the Cary Grants and the Humphrey Bogarts. You're like, you're not even trying.
Like swag was invented
seriously.
Because of that.
Yeah,
that
and
shit was swaggy.
And it's just, you watch James Dean in East of Eden and there's scenes where you're like, you're not even trying. It's just so effortless, but it's perfect. Mm-hmm. It's like effortless perfection, you know? And that's what I would see with Amanda is, of course, she put the work in, but also it would come so quickly and so naturally. Mm-hmm. Like the second she got on stage, it would just be like, boom, boom, boom. And I'm like, man, like.
But that also comes
with
time.
It's so impressive.
Yeah.
It's impressive. It comes with time. It comes with the people around you.
Yeah.
It comes with, you know, the community that you grew up in and the education that you have for yourself. But you, sir.
Yeah.
you know, even knowing that you come from the rockabilly and love the, and you know your history, you, sir, have created such a career for yourself mm-hmm. that this is going, I'm going to say this and you can tell me if this is mean or not, but there are, just hear me out. There are some Americans who want to make it big in America because America is the end all be all of it all.
Oh, yeah.
And let me tell you about my friend Drake Campanella.
Campanella.
Okay.
You're not French.
No, oh I'm not. Gosh. I speak
Campanella.
French. Campanella. But you did something that is so masterful for yourself. You found your people.
Yeah.
And you found a place to go where you are a big fish. You did not sit here and try to fight a current that most people in your position do and fail. You set yourself up for success in a really beautiful way by going to Mexico, by doing your music, by doing it your way, how you want to. Who said you could do that?
Well, so this is what's interesting. Okay. This is what's interesting because and it's funny because I've been doing some stuff recently with some other actors and I've kind of been out of like the Hollywood scene where you know I'm with CAA and my manager is my manager in Hollywood like the Hollywood group
toxicity.
You know? And, you know, my manager's out of Mexico and I do my own stuff and my agents, I've got a booking agent in New York that I've worked with for years. Like I've got my own family, you know? Yeah. And so I've been kind of removed from the quintessential Hollywood agent world for a while. And I've been working with these actors and I'm like, you don't realize that your agent is actually working against you. Yeah. Like your agent is giving you advice that's hurting you. And I'm trying to figure it out. Why are they giving you this advice? And then I'm like, okay, well, let's think. You're with a big agency. You're going to do this event. Okay, so they're going to use this agent from that thing for that event. And that agent's only going to get – so the whole agency is going to get 10%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that agent's only going to get what of that 10%? And then they have to run that contract through legal, and then the legal's got to get paid. What's this agent going to get? Dinner?
Period.
For working that contract for you?
Barely.
I mean, gas. So they're working on Timothy Chalamet's deal.
Yeah.
They're working on the I got a pilot that's down to the wire between me and this girl over at UTA. Like I'm on the phone for that.
Yeah.
I'll deal with your thing later. And I'm watching this and I'm like, what's going on? And so when I released an album in 2006 and it was my second album, the show was coming to an end. It was pretty popular, not like it is now. And I had been doing some shows with Ali and AJ and Corbin Bleu around the country, around the United States, and we've been doing well. And we ask or we get asked to do some shows in Mexico, and just my band. And so I know nothing about it. I just, hey, we got shows booked in Mexico. Okay, you know. I'm never the person to ask, oh, where are you playing? Oh, when are you playing? I'm like, I have no idea.
Oh my God,
I get on the airplane.
Too.
I'm like, point me in the direction. I don't know when I'm going to be there. I don't know how I'm going to get there.
It's too much information.
It's too much.
I'm just trying to remember my lines.
That's what you have people like us in your lives.
People are like, how do you always forget your phone? I'm like, I don't know. How do I remember 737 songs on stage in front of 40,000 people and remember the lyrics and not
mess
up?
Exactly, exactly.
I'm like, you go do that.
Yeah,
like, now get mad at me for forgetting my wallet.
Yeah, babe. Get mad for that.
Like, get upset for
you don't remember 737 songs.
But if I had to.
No, but I mean, dialogue. I mean, the things that, and that stuff's still in our brains,
sorry,
by the
Drake.
Way.
It is.
Tell
no,
me
no,
you
no.
can't go back to an episode of one of your shows and just, they say action and you can
Drake,
go from
she can't.
No?
Come and also, on. My brain's broken.
And also,
no, it'll happen.
She will learn her script like the day of the minute before.
Oh, yeah, I do that.
She's
too.
Very good.
And then
that
I'll forget it the day after. Yeah. Like my brain.
Not even. You forget it after cut.
After set. This is set. But I hate to interrupt. You're going to get back to it. But like,
I
that's how I feel what happened to my brain from 3 years old to now. Yeah. I had to learn an entire script and forget it each week. I think my brain is trained to learn it and forget it. Yeah. Learn it and
forget
it.
Also, forget it each day.
Each
because
day.
Because the rewrites. You're like, oh, okay, day. I got to do run through with an entirely new script today.
And then you want
today.
Me to do it as written? Yeah. Don't talk to me right now. Do not talk to me as written shit, okay? You want to laugh? So shut up.
Yeah, yeah.
We had a moment recently where I used to pride myself on being the person that could remember everything and everyone. And even so much so when I was a little girl, my dad and I used to have this unspoken agreement between the two of us where when we would go to his events and people would approach us, I would always reintroduce myself so they would say their name so he could then remember it. So, mm-hmm. Hi, I'm Miranda. And then they'd say hi and I could say, what was your name? Because it was just, so that was my thing.
Yeah.
And recently I said to Raven after we had just gone to World Pride in DC, and I've noticed this over the last so many months that people will come up to me and they now know me a little bit from the podcast, mm-hmm. Raven and I being married for 5 years. Today actually is our 5 year
anniversary. Congratulations.
And people come, hi, how are you? Oh my gosh, it's so good. And I'm like, hi, nice to meet you. And they're like, oh no, I met you. And I feel so bad, uh-huh. because I'm like, I haven't clocked this. And it gave me this little bit of insight into what you two experience. And it's like when you are so oversaturated and overstimulated with people who are coming, and I can't imagine on your scale, because for me now I'm like forgetting meeting people. And
that's
it's
why you have
just
to say nice to see you.
Well, I do.
Yeah, I always say that.
I always have to say nice to see you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. always.
But I'll say nice to see you, and then they'll like remind me of the time I saw them before, and I was like,
perfect.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
But I don't remember. Yeah. I'm like, I literally, it's just crazy.
Do you guys know what the Memory Palace is?
No.
Oh,
is
tell
it a
me
place?
All the things.
Is
no,
it a
is
place
this like
or
the people okay. who remember the numbers on the cards and then regurgitate them back?
Yeah. You want to learn it?
Yes!
Okay. Wait, you can teach it?
Yeah, it's a trick.
Okay.
It's really easy.
Do it.
Okay,
check this out. So the Memory Palace is a place that you know every nook and cranny of. It could be the house that you grew up in. It could be the house that you live in now. Somewhere that you know every single nook and cranny of.
Okay.
Close your eyes.
Okay.
Close your eyes. Okay. I want you to visualize this as much as possible. I want you to see it, feel it, taste it, everything, okay?
Okay.
So picture someone that you know close to you named John. Okay? Anybody.
Okay, yeah.
Or a famous actor.
Mm-hmm. I know John.
John.
Okay.
So what John is doing right now is he reaches up into the sky and he grabs the sun.
Okay.
So John grabs the sun and he throws it onto your feet.
Ow.
And now you feel warm. You're like, your feet are hot.
Oh, yeah.
Because
yeah.
John just threw the sun onto your feet.
John just threw the sun onto the feet.
Okay, so now we're going to move to your knees.
Okay.
And it's so weird. Now look at your knees. There's these little guys, and they're like playing basketball on your knees.
Funny, because my John is John Sally. Good
so,
times.
That's right. So now they're on your knees. There's little basketball players.
Okay.
And if you look, they're wearing New York Knicks uniforms.
Aww.
The New York Knicks. So you got these little New York Knicks playing basketball on your knees.
Okay.
Right? So now we're going to move up to your thighs.
I got big ones.
And your thighs all of a sudden turn in to Ford Mustangs.
Oh my God.
Blue and red.
All right. Mm-hmm. So now you're looking at your thighs, and your thighs are now Ford Mustangs. Now all of a sudden your seat starts to rumble. And you look around and you notice that you're sitting in a car.
Hmm. A different one than my Ford?
Yes, now you're inside of a car.
Okay.
So your thighs are Fords, but now you're sitting in a car because you feel your seat rumble.
Yeah.
And now you see you're in a car. And then you get hungry.
Always.
So you drive your car to McDonald's.
Okay. Fish fillet sandwich on Friday, double meat.
And you go inside the McDonald's, and there's Ronald McDonald shooting everybody with a ray gun, like a futuristic ray gun, right?
Okay.
So Ronald McDonald is running around shooting people with a ray gun.
Like Mars Attacks.
Right, exactly. And all of a sudden, he shoots you with the ray gun, and it shoots you right in the chest. And all of a sudden, this big bush of hair comes out of your chest from the ray gun.
Dreams.
Right?
Dreams for you, hell for me. Jesus,
So now you've got this big bush of hair.
Okay.
And now you're really embarrassed. You got to go home. You can't be out in the public this.
You got to
go home.
Yeah.
So you get home, but before you can get in your door, you're at your doorstep, and there's a envelope on your door. You see your door?
Yeah.
You see the envelope?
Yeah.
Okay. So now take the envelope. You open the envelope up, and oh my God, it's bills. It's all the bills you have to pay.
Always.
It's all the bills you have to pay. So now you're upset, And because you're upset, all of a sudden, these little bushes of hair start to come out of your neck. Like little bushes, right?
Okay.
And they're all in your... Now you're like, oh my God, I've got to get rid of this. So you go to the bathroom.
Yeah.
But when you look in the bathroom, for some reason, you start saying, yes, we can.
Si se puede.
Yes, we can.
Si se puede.
Exactly. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. Yes, we can. And just as you're saying this, Donald Duck bursts into the bathroom playing a golden trumpet.
Oh my God.
Drake, what the fuck is going on right now?
You see that? You see Donald Duck? What were you doing before he came in the bathroom?
Well, I was saying, si se puede.
Yes, you
can. And then what happened?
And then Donald Duck busts through the bathroom.
With what?
A golden trumpet.
Okay, cool. Open your eyes. All right. So now, what I just taught you
was a lot of
what I just taught you was every U.S. president was the U.S. presidents from Johnson to watch this. Tell me all the U.S. presidents from Johnson to Trump now. Tell me your story.
Oh my God,
John Son.
I don't think
knee.
Who's playing on your knees?
Knicks.
New York Knicks. Nixon.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Nixon.
Well, Nixon.
Then what did we do?
Mustang. Ford.
Okay.
Ford.
Then what did we do?
Car.
Seated in a car.
Carter.
Carter. Okay. Yes.
And,
yes.
And then you got hungry.
We got hungry and we went to McDonald's.
What did you see?
Ronald McDonald.
Ronald Reagan.
Okay. And then
Ray
what
Gun.
What did he do when he shot you?
Chest with hair.
What kind of, what came out?
Hair.
What
hair.
Was it?
Bush.
Oh, a bush.
And what kind of bush?
A hairy one.
A big one.
Okay.
The older one.
Big one. So then you got home.
Oh, wow.
So now you went home.
Went home,
what
and then I saw
door?
Bill's. Bill Clinton.
Then you went into the
bathroom.
Nope, before
Mad.
The bathroom.
You got more hair on your neck.
A smaller bush. The baby bush.
Yeah.
Okay.
Baby bush of hair.
And then
you went to the bathroom.
Yep. What'd you say to the bathroom?
Yes, we can, Obama.
Okay. And then who came in the bathroom?
Donald fucking Trump.
There you go. Now you know all the presidents from Johnson to Trump, and you don't have to think about it.
Wow.
So you can do that with anything.
Memory
so you can
kingdom,
do that with anything,
palace.
Right?
Yes.
So you can do that with your shopping list. You can do that with your dialogue. You can do that with numbers. You can do that with your addresses. You can do that with anything. I could ask you 10 years from now.
And I would still remember.
And you would just tell me your story.
Yeah, it'd be a small bush.
You're not going to forget that story. And the more visual you make the stories.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, like, for example,
that was
list
fucking cool.
of. Random words. I could take a list of words like this and look at it for 2 minutes
and make a story
and completely give it back to you.
Because you have to make a story.
And I could tell you in 10 days.
Do you know what? That's really true cool. Because there's a game that I play called the ABC game that used to go, I'm going to a picnic and I'm bringing an apple.
That's exactly
but
it.
But I do it in a story
and it
helps it. That makes total sense.
There's a book called Moonwalking with Einstein that I learned all this from. And it was a guy who was a reporter, and he just became fascinated with these guys called mathletes.
Yeah.
And they could remember in crazy strings of numbers, 60 decks of cards, unpublished poems that are thousands of words.
That's wild.
That's
and
crazy.
He was studying them and interviewing them and wanting to do an article on them. And one of the guys was like, I could teach you how to do this.
Mm.
And he's like, there's no way. Like, these you guys are all geniuses. And he's like, no, I could teach you. So the guy took him under his wing, this reporter, and the reporter became the number one memory expert in the world.
Wow.
Holy shit.
When you're looking at decks of cards, I don't see a two of hearts or a three of spades. Every time I see a two of hearts, it's Michael Jackson no matter what.
Yeah.
Every time I see a three of clubs, it's Einstein no matter what. Yeah. And every time I see a four of hearts, it's a bicycle.
It's
so
easier.
So Michael Jackson rode a bicycle with Albert Einstein, eating a pancake, looking at an apple, driving a bus.
Royal wow. flush, bitches.
So now I'm like, oh, ace of spades, two of hearts, yep. queen of diamonds, blah, 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 da, 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 da. So the memory palace, and we can leave it at this. I'll do this really quickly. So the memory palace is you pick somewhere that is your place
you know,
like the back of your hand. Then you take the list that you need to remember or whatever you need to remember, and you start placing them. You number everything in your house. Everything in your house. My door is number one. When I open the door, that's number two. My desk here is number three. My couch
Smart
is number four.
Fuck.
My TV is number five. My ceiling fan is number six. Whatever. You number everything in your house. You know where everything is. So then you just start. Then you just go in your house and you start putting everything in your house. You go.
Smart.
Oh, when I got to my house, let's say the words are horse, hair, turtle, glasses. Okay. So when I got to my house, it was so weird. There was a horse, and he was combing his hair. And then when I opened the door, there was a turtle and he was wearing glasses. Mm-hmm. So now I just go horse hair turtle glasses.
That makes sense.
Wow.
It's James, crazy.
I'm going to do that when you tell me to get something from the grocery store.
Thing, yeah,
so. I'm going to do that when
you guys started talking about memory and then I was like, oh, I'm going to go off for about 20 minutes okay. here. So.
Our little Einstein. I mean, I think that
I'm going to do that.
That's wild. And I heard today that 2 out of 3 women end up having Alzheimer's or some kind of memory, and weightlifting really helps. And then I was like, oh, your brain is like a parachute. It doesn't work if it's not open. So these are all really good.
Yeah.
Good things for our memory.
Yeah. No, it's really what? Amazing. But you can use it on... I'm following here.
Drake, I need to address this.
Okay.
Drake was right there with me, and I loved it.
I was working.
I need to address this.
I appreciated it. Drake was just like, I'm going to stick with her and I don't really care.
I have questions.
What do you want to know?
Why don't you wear any underwear, Drake?
Oh, I thought it was a question
for
me.
Why do you know that?
You told us. Don't you remember?
Oh my God, I did. Why because don't you I told wear you that story about that
you told interviewer us a lot of stories.
That from the publicist. Why don't, Nickelodeon.
You wear, why don't you yes. wear underwear, Drake?
Because I don't like it. It rides up. It's annoying. I don't know why. Now you're like those reporters I was complaining about.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought I was being good.
Trapping him.
Oh, okay. I won't do it.
No. I'm just joking. But the thing that's funny that you asked that, because when we were going through this whole, like, what in the world is it being like a kid on TV and what we had to go through and deal with and all this, I'm in an interview. And, you know, Nickelodeon is like, oh, you got to be a good role model and you can't mess up. And we just started Drake and Josh, right?
Okay.
I think we just done the pilot or something. And this was like the first press we'd ever done. And they're in my dressing room. I'm 15, right? And I get it. Like, I get this question's been asked forever. Like the Sean Cat, you can go all the way back to the whole, this question. But like, I'm 15. I haven't even had a girlfriend. I like haven't even kissed a girl. Like I'm just, you know. And this grown woman to a 15-year-old kid. Got to get this question out of the way, like this burning question everyone needs to know about this child.
Yeah.
Boxers or briefs?
That's so ridiculous.
And I was just like,
what?
And I looked at the publicist. And,
that's so gross.
And so then I.
So gross.
Well, also, I'm like, okay, so in interviews, like, are you allowed to lie? Or are you allowed to, like, is this a test?
Yeah.
Is this, are interviews tests or can I, like, I don't know that, like now I can do an interview. I can say whatever I want. Like I can be bullshit, I can make whatever. Like, but when you're a kid, like, I'm
you
like,
have no idea. Yeah.
An adult's asking me a question. Am I allowed to lie? Do I make a joke? Can I make it like, this is really uncomfortable. Why are you asking me what's under my clothes, lady?
Period.
And, so then I just made a joke and told the truth. And I was like, oh, neither. And they printed it.
15.
And I'm like, yeah. 15. And I was looking, and it's so funny because, well, it's not funny, but funny, interesting.
Funny, haha.
Because I totally forgot about that. And when I was doing the, when after I'd done Quiet on Set, I went to my mom's house, and she has this trunk of like all this old stuff that we, that she's kept for over the years. Newspaper articles and just stuff she's kept, you know? And I was looking through it, and I came across this newspaper, and I was like, oh my gosh, this was like one of my first interviews, Drake and Josh, you know? And boom, first line is about what I'm wearing under my clothes. I actually took it to the set when we did some research or something for the thing. And I was like, it's so funny we're doing this because read this article. Like it, because it never, like, it bothered me at the moment. In the moment, it weirded me out. Yeah. But also, like, you're in, not, I don't want to say survival mode, but you are in survival mode.
You got like four adults
like staring at you, like,
because if you do the wrong thing, you're going to get chewed out if you don't.
Yeah, answer correctly, promote our show, make it look happy, look like you're having fun.
Your job's on the line.
So much pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
On you.
Your job's on the line. Your money's on the line. You're this. It's like, and the thing that sucks too is like, this is the first time I really thought about this. An older actor, I'm sure, loves acting, has a passion for acting, has like, this is what they have to do with their life. Like, I get that, you know?
Yeah.
But when you're a kid
and you amplify
that feeling, but you're a kid, you're an adolescent, you have no idea but all you know is that all you want to do is get on that baseball field and hit the baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all you fucking want to do. And like, there's four people staring at you that could take that away from you. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's not only like, oh my God, this is my rent. This is my car payment. This is my food. This is my livelihood. This is my job. It's also when you're that young, it's like, look, I love playing music. I love acting. I love this. But you know what? I have my family. I have my son. I have other things that like, you know,
fulfill you.
I had I love getting on stage. I have a passion for this. But I've got other things in my life that I'm passionate about, that I have love for, that I can find, you know. But when you're a kid, it's literally like, this is all I want to do.
Yeah.
And it's not a job. It's not, I get it. It's a job, but it's bigger than that to us when we're young.
It's much bigger. And, you know, what you went through in that interview is something that I don't think a lot of the entertainment industry talks on, about the over-sexualization of young boys by the women, because you can look in the history books, even Justin Bieber having those uncomfortable conversations.
You've seen that.
I've seen it.
That clip where they strung it all together, and it's mind-blowing.
It's mind-blowing. And they
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm. And it's not just the females. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I feel bad because the females get it in a way to where it's like the body and your this. But men do too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I feel like the male version of it is suck it up, you're fine, you're a sex symbol, eventually you can have as many older women as you want. It's like, no, that's just as damaging to a human being, no matter what sex they are, at any age.
Yeah, and that's the other thing too, is, you know, I was, you know, reading Jeanette's book, it was like, you know, seeing other people's perspective, it's interesting to see, like, and when we had dinner too, it's like, we start talking, I hear things from your mouth, and I'm like, oh my God.
Oh, we were
like,
in
they're
it.
So... there's so few people in this world that really get us, you know, and like have been through what we, you know,
We not are that a
it's,
small
not
club.
That it's like this great, it's just different that people don't have
an experience.
No, it's just
different.
You
it's
know?
Different.
And we get each other. When you're young and you're being interviewed by Tiger Beat, Teen Beat as this like teen heartthrob, and I'm going home and I'm like, do I text this girl or do I, like, do I get a girlfriend? I've never had a girlfriend before. Like, they're like asking, like, you know, what's your ideal first kiss? And what's your favorite date? Where did you take a girl to be this? And I'm like,
over-sexualized.
I don't know, dude. I'm like, I'm like, my dad gets mad if I talk to, like, I'm not even supposed to have a girlfriend yet. Yeah. Like, you know, like, I'm like, what? It's just so strange,
but it's
so flippant and like just done in such a way that's like, whatever. Hey, boxers are briefs, kid.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, if this was any other scenario, you'd go to jail.
Period.
If you had texted, if that woman texted that to me.
Period. Period.
Yeah. Period. No, so true.
End of story.
Yeah.
Period.
It's just wild. It's like the same thing with like, oh, well, it's happening. The cameras are rolling, so it's fine.
Yeah,
everybody's exactly. watching.
Oh, this
everybody's
person, watching. This actor is 24 and the actress is 16, but the actor's playing 17 and that actor's playing 16.
It's fine.
So the cameras are rolling. It's totally fine.
No, it's not. Like, it's not okay.
And on?
And you don't give us therapy after.
No,
you do not put that in the mandatory.
Therapy? You don't even give us money to pay for therapy.
That part.
You don't
that
even part. Give us residuals so that we can afford therapy. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
The child, I always, you know. I'm always an advocate for it, of just not putting your children in the industry.
Yeah.
Too young.
Yeah.
Too young. I think, you know, let them live a life. Let them have some anonymity. Let them have it. And then like 16, 17, start introducing
and
if they feel that way.
And even if it's earlier than 16, 17, well, you know what? There's lots of community theater programs. There's
lots
a lot
stuff.
Of school programs. See if your kid likes it.
Yeah.
See if your kid likes the pressure of getting told no at an audition.
Yeah.
Don't just say, oh, my kid said he wanted to be an actor, so I went to a manager and I put him in acting.
Because like, the kid didn't say that. Your heart wanted that to happen and you did it.
And
some kids
kid,
want to.
Some kids want to. I wanted to.
I heard you were loving it.
I wanted nothing more than to be Jerry Lewis. Like, I would sit on the couch with my dad and I'd watch these movies and he'd show me Red Skelton and Abbott and Costello and all this stuff. And I would be like, that's all I want to do. And then he showed me Elvis. And then I was like, wait, but okay. how do I be that cool but fall down and make people laugh too? Like, how do I be Dean Martin and Jerry Lewis, put them together, yeah, wrap them into one? Okay, no. Okay, now, okay, well, I got to find a partner. Then I get a Josh. Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it's just crazy how it like manifested, yeah, this whole thing. But like, yeah, that's all I wanted to do. So I understand, like, when someone's like, oh, well, they didn't know what they wanted to do when they were 6 years old. It's like, no, trust me, I know what I wanted to do because my dad loved baseball, and and every day he put a baseball in my hand, put a baseball glove on he took me out. He wanted to play baseball, wanted me to play baseball, get me in Little League, get me in baseball. You know, my cousin went off and played professionally for the Padres and was one of the best closers in baseball. Oh, and like, you know, and my dad played baseball, my grandpa played baseball, and it was like a baseball family, you know? So my dad's like, baseball, baseball, baseball. I'm like, Dad, guitar and comedy. I'm like, you don't understand. I get it. The baseball's fun, cool, but you see how I'm in the dugout making the kids laugh? Yeah.
That's what
I don't
want to
be on
calling
the baseball field waiting for a pop fly from a 10-year-old. Like,
I love it.
It's not going to make it out here. I'm, you know, I'm out here picking flowers in the grass because they always put me in the outfield because the kids never hit it that far, and I don't like playing.
There's a lot of sports in your family. It wasn't just baseball. It was actually,
yeah, my mom's a 2-time world champion billiard player.
Whoa,
that's crazy.
Yeah, my mom is a 2-time world champion pool player.
That's crazy.
My cousin's a closer. Well, he's retired now, but played for the Padres, the Mets, the Marlins.
Wow.
Marlins, yeah.
And you used to dive, right?
Well, no. Well, what happened was I got a call. Would you like to do this celebrity diving show?
Hmm.
And in my mind, I'm thinking of like boing ba boing be boingy boing. And like, yeah, diving in the water,
like jumping,
and we'll
in the
wear
water,
like funny outfits. And
definitely
we'll
the boingy boingy part.
I don't even know what I thought. I was like, I just thought of like a little diving board. You're gonna dive into the water. I was like, yeah, sure. So we talked a little bit more about it. I was like, okay, who else is doing it? You know. And there were some cool people doing it that like I wanted to meet. Like, I really love Louis Anderson. He's a comedian, and
I
we
love
actually
Louis.
Became
hilarious.
So sad.
I love
so, yeah, I miss him, man.
Yeah, cannonballs all over the place.
Yeah, yeah.
But we became really close, actually. It was really cool.
And so he was awesome.
Yeah, he was amazing. And so there were some people doing that. I'm like, okay, that sounds kind of cool. Like, let's see what it is. I get to the swimming pool, and here's Greg Louganis.
Oh, fuck.
Okay. Standing on top of a 33-foot high dive. And it's like the cameras are rolling. You know, this is the first time they want to see our reactions.
I'm peeing on myself.
And I look at this thing and I'm like, what is that for? Oh, they must have, they must use this for like high dive for like call it kids and stuff. Like, must come in here and
like
do high dive.
Professionals.
And then here comes Greg Louganis walking on the high dive. And I'm like, oh my God, that's Greg Louganis. He does an arm stand on the thing, goes into a perfect Olympic somersault dive, perfect. Like, just Olympic dive, comes out of the water, jumps out, is like, hi, everybody. Nice to meet you. Are you guys ready to do that?
Fuck off.
I'm leaving.
Fuck all the way off. Fuck all the way off.
I go, oh, my God. I forgot to tell you guys. I am deathly afraid of heights.
Oh, wow.
Airplanes, I'm fine, but, like, balconies, things like that, I'm terribly
cars
afraid
for
of
me.
Heights.
Cars? Cars for me in mountains.
Oh,
I always
when you're
yeah.
high in a
off.
Car? Yeah.
Can
totally.
Can you do the mountains?
I can do the mountains. I don't get too scared because I'm in control, right? You know?
Yeah, I'm afraid for myself that one day I'll just be like.
Yeah, you get that feeling, right?
Yeah.
So that's what I get. And I'm like, there's no way. They're like, well, let's just let everyone, we're going to walk up and just see what it's like and look down. Dude, I've never been on a high dive before. It's 3.5 stories.
Yeah, that's 30 feet.
It's beyond.
It's 3-story building.
Yeah.
And you're up there, and dude, I start going, whoa. I go, wait, they want me to jump off of this?
Yeah, dude, into water.
Head first?
Sometimes.
Are you insane?
Yes.
This isn't happening. I go, you guys got the wrong guy. This is not.
They're like, you signed up.
You got the wrong guy, guys. Like, I'm out. First episode. Vote me out. Get me off the island. I'm done.
And did you jump?
So the first day I jumped. I like just jumped, like, cuz I've jumped off a cliff before and like whatever, like okay. So I just jump, you know, and just feet first. So we all like get that out of our system. It
Ooh,
took so long to hit the water.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm still in the air. I'm still going. And now I'm in the water.
I don't like that.
I was like, there's no way I'm going to be able to do anything flipping head first, somersault, anything off of a deck that high.
Mm-mm.
Dude, I ended up doing arm stand somersaults. I ended up doing backflips. I ended up doing front somersault. I ended up becoming obsessed with diving. And then after the show, I continued and kept going and going and going until I shattered my wrist.
And that's what happens when you follow your dream, kids. You gotta fight the fear and push through. You too can become.
Are you not afraid of heights anymore?
I'm still afraid of heights, but I could go up on a high dive and have no problem whatsoever. I mean, I can't dive as well as I
desensitized himself from
because
that.
I broke my wrist.
Okay. Diving?
Yeah.
Wow.
But don't be afraid of diving. It was a stupid diving accident. It was because I was being an irresponsible diver. So
there are those.
Yeah.
Safe divers only.
The pool was not deep enough of where I was diving. And so I hit the bottom and I shattered my wrist.
Oh, I hit the bottom of a pool and chipped my tooth. Ooh. It's a thing.
Yeah. No. Yeah, we dive in. Our pools are 15, 20 feet deep that you dive in because we go with such force. I mean, we're going, you can't have anything that's not 15 feet deep.
Do you guys remember
the
movie?
And I dove into like a 6 feet or something.
Oh, that's your fault. It's your fault.
Do you guys remember the movie Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken?
No.
Did either of you ever watch that?
Mm-mm.
Oh my God. It was a Disney movie. I won't keep us here too long, but it was one of my favorite movies as a kid. Disney movie about a woman who would high dive off of a horse.
Yes.
Yeah. And so these horses.
And wait,
run
wasn't
up.
She blind?
Yes.
Yes.
But she went blind in diving.
Oh, she dove, and then because she landed wrong, she went blind.
Exactly. And
I
then
remember this movie.
She retrained herself because she was terrified after that. She started diving blind, and it's such a good
but dove
movie.
with horses.
Yes. So
like that was her thing,
and that was because she was blind. It was all the sound.
Yeah.
So she would like hear the horse running up the ramp. Here
so,
the
babes,
no
you,
one.
You were one of those white girls who loved horses growing up. That was you in this movie.
Yeah, the movie is really good.
It's a great movie. It's
did you have your Anne Frank with you while you watched it?
My Anne
not
Frank?
Anne,
not Anne, no, what not Anne Frank.
What is it? My Helen Keller? Just
no,
stop.
No,
is that what you mean?
No. I meant the rainbow fucking things.
Lisa what are they gonna? Frank.
The Lisa oh Frank. God. Did you have your Lisa Frank too? Damn it!
Oh my God,
I
know.
I really do better with written jokes. I don't know.
Yeah.
Wait,
my Anne Frank. Oh, and then God. I took it to Helen Keller, which
I was
even
like,
worse.
Oh my God,
listen.
My Helen Keller. I had a Helen Keller doll that I really loved. And
but
my
yes,
wife,
I remember
she wore
that
a
movie.
Water shirt.
Wait, you had a Helen Keller doll?
No.
Okay.
But did you hear what she said, though? That she wore a water shirt.
She had a shirt that just said water. It was in Braille. It was so cute. You guys, we should make these. That would be good merch.
Do you follow Helen Keller on Instagram?
The real?
It's a thing?
Just follow Helen.
I'm doing it.
Just follow Helen Keller on Instagram and thank me later.
Done. Done. I'm thanking you for so much. Yeah.
There's a lot.
Oh my God. This is so good.
Anyway, long story short, I became obsessed with diving.
Yeah.
Got over my fear. Started doing arm stand somersaults. Unfortunately, came in third place on the show. I think it should have been second place.
Well,
we'll
check
to the judges
records.
About that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so
that's
I was
awesome.
Doing crazy stuff. I was doing flips, but they train you on a trampoline and you work your way up.
Oh, I love
and
a trampoline.
So you start on the small one, and then you go to the 5, and then you go to 7, and then you go to 10.
Wow,
and
you did that.
And it's you do it so many times that by the time you get to 10, you're not even scared.
Yeah, that
like,
makes sense.
It's like music too. Yeah. Like I could be playing a song and not even thinking about it, and that's what happens. Your muscle memory kicks in, and then all of a sudden you're in the water, and you come out, and your coach is like, "You just did it."
That's crazy.
Have you ever done Pilates?
No.
Because Joseph Pilates, the person who founded Pilates, was also a diver.
Yeah, he was.
And so much of the work that you do on a reformer is actually like putting you in diving, perfect diving position and alignment, learning how to use your muscles. And, you know, when you imagine somebody jumping off and they're doing those perfect spins down, I mean, that's all technically a move that you would do on a reformer to get you into that
rolling
perfect
like
alignment.
A ball too, right?
Yeah, I mean, so many things. But I have something else that I want to know if you would like to dive into.
Yeah.
And that is this teapot. Because in this teapot, there is a topic.
And we're going to talk
about it. We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Dive on in.
So elevate and dive.
Can I
you can bring it to you.
Today on Tea Time, what are we talking about? Oh, no.
Masculinity.
Masculine? Why do you have that face?
What do I talk about masculinity? We'll work it out together.
All right, let's talk about masculinity.
Let's talk about masculinity. There's different versions of it, right? There's positive, there's toxic, there's the, like, the unsung hero version of masculinity, which is your cowboy, I'm going to open the door for you, honey, and all that bullshit. And then there's just simplistic human being living on Earth, living with their balls in their hands.
And also then there's just the experience of knowing that, like, there's the feminine and the masculine, right? Like, every
I'm sorry,
person.
Drake, did I say something?
Well, you said remember balls. We were talking earlier about the memory thing, and I'm a very visual person. So when yes. you say with your balls in your hand, listen, kinda, you, know,
you see listen. Raven with her yeah. balls in her hands?
Exactly.
I yeah. live with them in my hand.
And then there's just what I was saying, though, which is, like, the feminine and the masculine that yeah. is in every single one of us. Right, as an energetic expression,
and so like as a lesbian couple, right? They're not us, but you know, to the cisgendered community, there's always a masculine one, there's a feminine one. If two masculines get together, it's like whoa. If two femmes get together, it's like ooh, it's like a mess. But like,
I don't know, the femme one looked fun.
See,
you're like yeah, ooh, yeah,
exactly.
That's what they feel. That's what they feel. But like in our relationship, I'm the more masculine one when it comes to representing outwardly,
physically.
Mm-hmm. Physically, I can lift heavy things and do this and blah 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 blah. But then there's also moments when my wife has her masculine moments where I love her to death, but she tries to, like, when she comes to kiss me, she puts her arm on top of mine and then moves my head in. You know, it's like this thing.
Whoa.
And I'm like, whoa, you do that. And I'm like, okay, she's in her masculine right now, trying to, you know, push me into position. I'm cool with that. That's the, you know, that's the masculinity in my head and all the thought processes.
There you go. That's a lot of masculinity.
There's no question here. This is just your
I
thoughts.
Know. I was like, where am I going to, where, I, how do sharing. I pontificate on,
right?
On
no, I'm just sharing about the thought of masculinity in society. You have a son.
I do.
I'm not a man. And I have no children. Mm-hmm. Do you teach masculinity?
I don't think that it's something that you teach. I think that there's values that you instill in your child. I think that there's things like, and I know that, you know, I'm very traditional. I you know, I think that the may I open the door for you
it's beautiful.
Isn't bullshit to me.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that's the way that men should behave mm-hmm. in society.
Shiver, he's not dead.
I really believe that to be true. Now, I think that there's obviously overstepping, like, hey, like, I can do this myself, or hey, I don't need this, like...
But like, if you're being in a romantic,
like, you're trying to
really
flirt,
controlling.
Like, yeah. Like, yeah. Like, don't be walking around, hey, honey, let me help you with it. Like,
yeah.
That's weird.
Mm-hmm.
I was just with my son, and he's 4. And he just turned 4. And we're on the elevator, and there were two ladies on the elevator, and it was me and my son. And the elevator doors opened, and my son went to run off the elevator. And I grabbed him, right? And I said, oh, no, after you, you know. And they got off the elevator. And they got off, and when I talked to my son, I want him to, like, actually, like, really listen to me. I, like, get down on his level. So I got down on him, and I, you know, I got down on my knee, and I, like, looked at him. I said, hey, you know, it's really important when, you know, we're boys, and when we're on the elevator and there's girls on the elevator, you have to let the girls off first and the boys go off second. So when there's girls in the elevator, you know, you just say, after you, or, you know, you first, mm-hmm. and that's what you do. And that's because... you know, that's how we have to behave. You know, that's what we have to do. A couple days later, we're at the park, and little girl comes up behind him. He's next in line for this little boy goes down the slide. Little girl comes up behind my son. He's next on the slide, turns around, and I'm just watching, okay? Turns around, he goes, oh, after you. And gets behind her and is like, and then the little girl goes down. He looks down to make sure she's off the slide. And then he goes down. And then we go to, I went up to him. I said, wow, you know, hey, I saw what you did. And that was really nice. Like, that was really, really, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, good job. Then a couple days later, we're at the water park. And the same thing happens. I'm in line for this water slide. He's in line for this water slide. And my son's excited to get on this water slide. All right. He does not want to wait in line for this water slide. Okay. And these two little girls walk up, and he turns around, and he's talking to them. And I'm just watching my son, you know, and I'm just watching him knowing what he's saying. I'm like, after you. And he lets the two little girls go in front of him on the slide, and he gets behind him.
So
little boy comes up behind him. He's like,
what's
up?
So you know, doesn't have to be taught. Oh,
and
my
so,
God.
And so I don't think that masculinity is something that's taught, but I think that there's like... you know, and I don't think that it's, that's, a, I don't think that that's a
manners.
Masculine thing,
that's
right?
Manners.
That's the other thing too, is like, I don't think that like opening the door for somebody or making sure that like, you know, that's, you know, look, responding to somebody politely or in a correct way, that's just manners. And so, but as far as like masculinity, and femininity too. I think that that's also something that I say I wouldn't teach my son masculinity, because I don't think that it's something to be taught, because it's something that you're discovering. And it's something also that, like, my son will climb and run and jump and fall and get scratched and is a boy's boy. And, but, oh my gosh, when he lays down with his mommy and he's got his mama and he's, and, or with me, like he'll be with me and just, we'll be watching TV and he just, dada, I just really love you. And then just give me a kiss and then go back to watching his stuff, right? Now, like, in society, you'd be like, oh, I need to break my son of that. That's a very feminine trait. Like, I can't have my son be walking around kissing dad on the lips and saying I love you. Like, hey, you know, I saw this TikTok the other day.
That's the toxic.
I saw this TikTok the other day of this dad with his son, and he was, like, trying to get him to ride this motorbike or something. And the stuff that he was saying was, like, very, like, no one Fs with us, right? Like, no one Fs with my son. Like, you're a man. Like, this. And I was just like, I could never imagine putting that into my son's brain.
Yeah. But that, like,
and
that
that's
happens.
What you're, and, th- and that's
it
the
does
thing.
Happen a
and
lot.
It's, there's, I don't see my son being loving and caring and just cuddly and kissy and as a feminine trait, whereas society would. And when my son's running up and climbing on the jungle gym and falling down and scraping his leg and
masculine trait,
only crying for a second and then running back with the kids, all of a sudden that's a masculine trait because he's a boy. It's like, no, I don't think that there's a separation there. Or like what you were saying with when you were describing, like, oh, you're getting your masculine on. I was like seeing that as more of like, I think that's just the boxes that we're putting that in. It's like, no, she's getting her on, like
her assertiveness,
like that's just her, like, that's like, you know, it's not, this isn't the masculine side of me, this isn't the feminine side of me, this is the me side of me, and this is just like who I am. And sometimes I get fucking pissed off and I get upset and things come out, and then sometimes I'm very tender and loving and caring and passionate, and but that's not any
you're
separate,
seeing a holistic being versus
exactly.
like just a boy or a girl, which I think are the boxes. And I think that there is like the scientific element, which is like men have more testosterone, women have more estrogen. But when you are talking about a boy or a man being able to have sensitivity and empathy and love and compassion and cry and show vulnerability, to me, that's strength. In every single
and
way.
And I mean, maybe it's like the artist in me, but like with my son, it's like that I strive for him to be able to like
emote
express. And like love and cry. And it's okay to be sad. And look, there's things to be sad about. And look, sometimes when he's crying about, you know, an Angry Birds game from 2012 that was discontinued before he was even born.
I agree with him.
I mean when he's having a meltdown about a game that was discontinued 13 years ago that he's never even played, you know, then I can say, hey, there's some things we cry about, some things we don't cry about.
Yeah.
But you're not teaching a toxic masculinity version of there's no tears
no
in this
boy,
life.
No, boys can't cry.
Boys don't cry.
There's
tears
no crying
in baseball.
You know, like.
What's that from?
Yeah.
A League of Their Own.
We're on that.
Listen, there's no black people in that. I don't know.
Oh my God. But there's Tom Hanks in it and he yells at a ref. Remember, he says, you look like a little penis with a hat on.
Yeah. That is a great movie.
What are you guys laughing at? I know Tom Hanks is white, but he's also a really good actor, so he can like.
And he's been in a lot of movies with
black people.
Yeah,
both of you.
There you go.
Stop.
We're on the same level, and I really like it.
Okay, I want to get back to masculinity. Yeah. So, and this, I don't know if this is going to go haywire or not, but you know,
probably
it's me. Another culture that has really strong views on masculinity is actually the Latino or Mexican culture. The men there are, you know, this is the man's job, this is a woman's, and this is that. And you kind of touched on it earlier, being that you are an artist, I feel like men in artistry have more connections to both sides of the spectrum. Do you find it difficult living in that kind of community, or?
No, honestly, it's... What I find living in Mexico is it's very common in the United States to be like, I think I have some cousins. Period. I might. I think. Yeah. I know two cousins that I grew up with, but I think there's like two that live in Delaware. You know, like I have some. Yeah, I have an uncle, but I see him like at Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
That's like normal for us, right? In Mexico, it's like Sunday afternoon, and you're walking around, and you're like, "Wow, what holiday is it today?" I mean, everyone's got their grandmas and their aunts and their uncles and their kids and their dogs and like the whole family. Like, is it Mother's Day or what is it? They're like, no, it's Sunday.
Oh, you're
like,
that.
You know, so it's like there's, it's not so much like men do this and women do this and this is how it has to be. It's just sort of like it flows traditionally that way. Like they're just like very family, you know, all the, it's like my son's side is Paraguayan. Ooh. So he's half Paraguayan. So it's, you know, I, on my side of the family, he has some, actually we have a lot of cousins. Never mind. I take that back. My brothers went a little haywire. We've got like 30. Yeah. He's got a lot of cousins on our side, but they're all spread out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They're in Delaware.
Yeah, exactly. but my son's Latin side of the family is, you know, he goes in Florida. There's all the cousins and tios and tias and grandmas and grandpas and everything. Big family.
Yeah,
big family.
And there's a lot of, I think, as much as there is that kind of like machismo energy, there also is this love and this sensitivity in the Latin culture and overall, where there is like a lot of music and expression and sensitivity, and there's dance, and you see the men dancing, and you
respect.
See,
I think too. What I noticed too is, there's something where in the United States, I kind of feel that sometimes, like, if you open the car door for someone, or if you do, you do these certain things that are like old school, traditional, they're kind of like, here in the States, it's kind of like, I don't know.
There's been there, like, done that. You're trying to impress me.
You're trying to impress me, like, hey, like, I'm on your level. Like, you don't need to do that. Like, we're on the same level, you know? And we're in Mexico. It's like
the women require
it. You didn't open the door for me. You're walking ahead of me.
Yeah.
Like you're like, I'm back here. You're three steps ahead. Like you should be back here with me.
So the women keep the rules as well.
Yeah.
And you're right. Here in America, the women are, I'm independent. I can do it myself. Yeah. And you know, you don't have to belittle me by opening my door. Right. I can do it myself. But there is that. I've witnessed that. I was in a past relationship with someone that was of Latino descent, and it was very much like, are you going to do this or not? I'm like, yo, you're a girl. You can do this shit yourself.
Yeah.
She's like, uh-uh, you are. I was like, whoa, calm down. But I think that is beautiful when both sides, the feminine and the masculine, know their roles, sit in it with confidence, and move forward in society. Yeah. I think there is something beautiful about that as well.
And don't separate it like that. Can be in touch with every part of that, because you can't have one masculine, one feminine, and then, I mean, that's going to be a clash for, it's a nightmare. I mean, you have to have, I need my girlfriend to be masculine sometimes, because I'm broken and I'm tender and I'm going through something that I just can't freaking handle right now, and I need you to freaking, like, be like, fuck it, we're going to get through this.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the best
kind. What are you doing sitting down on the ground right now? Get the fuck up. Like, let's go.
Yeah.
That's the best
kind. You know, and then, when she's like that, I can be like, get the fuck up. Like, let's go. I just said the F word way too many times.
Oh, we say that shit all the time.
But you know what I'm saying? So it's like, you have to, so when you put things in boxes like this, or it's like, oh, that's, that's toxic masculinity. Sometimes it's just people being an asshole.
Yeah. Most of the times it is.
You know, it's like, don't put that in a box where you're like,
defining
making me
that
an
as
asshole
a man.
Now
yeah.
because
yeah.
I'm masculine. Yeah. Like, don't make me an asshole now because that guy's being a dick.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, exactly.
It should be, you know.
That's why I was speaking to the energy that is of the human experience, which is like your girlfriend, who is a woman, can have more of that masculine energy. We have just associated that masculine equals man.
Mm-hmm.
But a woman can have that, and that just means she's basically taking the forward step of saying, I see that you're having a moment, so I have to be more of the aggressor, if you will, to like pull you up out of it. But
that's relationship to
It is. And to do that on both sides, though. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the balance of relationship, and that's the balance of even in your own self. Mm-hmm. You understand when you have to come to the table a little bit more, you know, I'm here, I'm commanding this room, or you can sit back and you can be a little bit more what people would associate as feminine, quiet, mild-mannered, but I think
demure.
But I think that again is the misfortune of what we've done in society, where we're just putting labels in boxes and stifling people, and then we don't understand how to act in certain things, and then there's pressure that comes. Because, like, I hear that this is your perspective now. Has it always been, or did you ever feel pressure to, like, appear more manly and masculine and strong?
Well, I mean, other than just, like, you know, you're a teen heartthrob. You have to present yourself in this way, and you have no idea. Like, you're still learning your body. Yeah. You don't know how to walk cool. You don't know how to, you don't know if these pants look too big or if the jacket's too small. Like, you have no idea what you're still growing. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh man, I've got acne yesterday and now I don't. And today I do. And I don't know what's going on. And so there's definitely, I think, an added pressure just because
of our life.
Yeah, we're supposed to be on people's wall, you know, bedroom walls and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I don't even know what I don't even know myself yet.
But you do. You are a singer, and you play an instrument, and that is some masculine, sexy shit sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's some feminine the girls shit to
the
too.
Yard. Yeah. But you bring the girls to the yard
sometimes.
Yeah. He got that Elvis in him.
Yeah, he does.
I think that's hard. I don't want to like be like, oh, I'm an artist. But I think that's something that's...
You are, dude. I'll call you that.
But being in a creative space like we are, it's hard for me to be... Whenever I see things that are like, oh, that's toxic masculinity, and this is feminine. Oh, this is too masculine and feminine, and this is that. I'm like, that's so... It's so like boxed in. Like, my mind doesn't...
You're an artist.
Fit that way.
Yeah.
You know? It can't fit that way if you need to connect to source in order to create.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you're a creative, if you're an artist, you have to sit above looking, in a horrible example, above looking down at the typical so that you can write about it, so that you can question it, so that you can create it.
You also have to be able to experience it too. Like, you have to be able to not be so, you know, tied to some belief or... tied to some, you know, you have to be able to take on new ideas and experience and change your mind about things. And because it's like you listen to the, you know, songs that have changed the world or.
Yeah.
You know, I lost my train of thought.
That you were literally just about to say that you've written so many songs that have changed the world.
Exactly. That's I'm trying to basically get it back to how I have affected the world
through my art. Because he's an artist.
Have I mentioned that I'm an artist? Yeah.
So, this is all a joke.
And his mind is like a parachute.
Yeah.
It's open.
It's always open.
And that's why it works.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What
exactly.
The fuck? Rapid fire.
Let's do rapid fire.
Let's do some rapid fire.
I had a point there I was going to make. It was going to be great, but
And it comes back to you?
It'll come back.
It'll stay in your
memory. It was something about you have to be able to connect with everything. You can't just pigeonhole everything and just say like, I'm the masculine and this is my feminine and this is my this. It's like you want to be able to create everything and be able to experience everything. Okay, thank you. Next. Rapid fire.
That's very true, though.
Let's do some rapid fire questions. Okay. You first, babe.
An AIM screen name. Did you have one?
I don't remember.
Okay.
A friend of mine asked me that the other day, too. And I was like, I don't remember what mine was. It was probably just like Drake 27. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you have one?
I did, and I don't remember it.
Yeah, I had one, and it was Hilm Hip 4. We won't talk about that today.
Cool. 2000s trend you secretly miss.
I don't remember a single trend from the 2000s.
I do.
He's going back.
A 2000s trend.
Oh.
Did you have a sidekick or a two-way?
No, I had a razor.
Ooh, I did too.
You guys are perfect for each other.
Yeah, a razor.
A 2000s trend.
How about the bowl cut?
I was going to say that, but I didn't want to.
Why?
Because first of all, it's not a bowl cut. Okay?
You sure?
First of all, okay, do you want to know? I've never talked about this. Okay.
Let's talk about it.
So, I invented that hairdo.
I don't know, sir. I don't know.
First of all, it wasn't a bowl cut.
Okay.
Second of all, it was pre-Justin Bieber. Third of all, I invented it.
Okay.
Second of all, I stole it from Paul McCartney. Third of all,
who invented it?
Third of all, and John Lennon.
That makes sense.
I reinvented it.
There you go.
He's a Beatle-obsessed boy.
It's so funny because people are like, oh, who started that hair? Like, where did that hairdo come from? Because that was the 2000s thing. Everyone had their hair, like, coming down like this. And I'm I know for a fact that this is how it happened.
Okay.
Because there's no other explanation. Because yeah. nobody had that haircut. I was like 15. Yeah, we'd shot the pilot for Drake and Josh. I had a girlfriend at the time. My girlfriend at the time, we were obsessed with the Rolling Stones and the Beatles and Brian Wilson and the Beach Boys and classic rock. And we were like little rockers, you know? And she liked to cut hair. It was summer. I'm on hiatus. We're waiting to come back to shoot the show. And I'm like, got my skinny bell-bottom jeans on and my vintage shirt tucked in, trying to look like David Bowie, you know? And she's like, she's got this like rock and roll haircut, you know, blue hair, you know, we're these little punk rock kids, you know? And I'm like looking at Brian. It was really Brian Wilson. Mm. I'm looking at Brian Wilson from Pet Sounds. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's what I need to look like. Like my hair, like I need to look like this, like John Lennon, Paul McCartney, Brian Wilson, like this is the hairdo. There was nobody at this time
that
I could go, it needs to look like Zac Efron. It needs to look like this guy. It needs to look like this Justin Bieber. It needs to look like this. There was nobody with a Beatles haircut.
Yeah.
It was not a thing. You know, everyone had like frosted tips.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Like nobody
Guy
had.
Guy Fieri, like.
Everything
yeah.
was
no,
boy.
It was
Justin
boy.
Timberlake.
Yeah.
And
it was like.
JC
Earls.
Chazet. And nobody had yeah. some
Nick
Beatles
Carter.
Haircut. So we're in the backyard of my mom's house. And I've got my thing on, you know. And I'm like, let's do it. Let's cut it. And I've got all the pictures of like Mick Jagger and Paul McCartney and Brian Wilson. And she's literally like.
Oh, this is funny.
Like hilarious. Trying to cut my hair to look like
yeah.
the Beatles.
Yeah.
So I came back to the show and I've got this awesome hair that I think is dope, right? Yeah. It like comes down, it like covers one eye and I've like got the thing and I'm like, and I'm like looking at old footage of like Brian Wilson and like he's like, at, you know, and he's like doing the thing with like, you know, he's like singing, doing the thing and then the Beatles and I'm like, dude, I got the coolest hair ever. Like, this is awesome. So then we shoot some of the shows and I'm like, cool, my hair looks cool. Well, then the producers are like, we can't see your eyes.
I hate that note. I hate it.
We can't see your eyes. I'm like, there's no way you can't see my eyes. They're on my face. that you have a camera staring at. You can see my eyes, okay? Like, we can't see your eyes. We need to cut his hair. It's too long. We can't see his eyes.
Mm. That's devastating. That is devastating.
Do you know what happened? I go in to the hair and makeup room. And I have this awesome fucking rock and roll hair. And this guy takes these scissors and goes... He was cutting and I'm like, what are you doing? I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. And he just went right. He just, because I had this thing that, and he just got rid of it. He just went, shh, shh. Okay, there. Now you can see your eyes. I'm like, yeah, but now I look like Lloyd from Dumb and Dumber. I'm like, do you see what you just did to my hair the whole season three? I'm going, and now when you get the bowl cut. I'm like, the bowl, that's that guy's fault.
That's his fault.
That's how it became a bowl cut.
Cut,
understood.
And that's really, I honestly, truly believe that nobody else would have had that hair.
I think you started a trend. You reinvented it.
You brought it back. Favorite cartoon growing up?
Johnny Bravo.
Of course! Go to...
Oh, mama.
Go to comfort food.
Ice cream.
Flavor?
Pistachio, vanilla. I mean, honestly, any flavor of ice cream. I could eat...
Do you like Rocky Road?
I love Rocky Road. But it has to have real marshmallows in it.
Yes.
It can't be that junk they put in the Ben & Jerry's, the marshmallow, the whipped marshmallow.
No, yeah, marshmallow. No, like a real...
It's got to be a real mini marshmallow.
Yes, 100%.
Like in the Haagen-Dazs.
Yes, or the Baskin-Robbins.
Yeah, or Baskin-Robbins. Yes. Yeah, but they put the fluff, the cream. It's like marshmallow cream.
It doesn't... No.
I'm like, that is not Rocky Road. That's not a marshmallow. I'm like...
That's a swirl. I want
that like little marshmallow
bite
and
yes.
and but with the Ben and Jerry's I'm like yeah, it's not marshmallows.
It's disgusting. No. Early bird or night owl?
Both.
Ooh, so I'm totally no sleep?
Seriously, no. I mean, I love sleep, but I love staying up late. Like, I could stay up all night, and then musician. I love getting
up. Do you take a nap?
Sometimes.
Okay. If you could open for any band.
I mean, I sleep. Days I'll stay up late, yeah. And then I'll sleep in.
Yeah.
Some days I wake up early,
We know you sleep.
Yeah.
Okay. If you could open up for any band, alive or dead, who could it be?
The Beatles. Ooh. Or Elvis. Ooh.
That makes sense. First concert you ever went to?
Like, I was really into like punk rock and ska and
I fucking love ska.
All that stuff. Yeah. Ska. That's a 2000 trend that needs to come back.
I love ska.
Ska music. Ska music needs to come back. Oh, No Doubt.
Ooh.
No Doubt was probably
good one.
That was probably now that I think about it, No Doubt at the Pond was probably like the first big concert of a band that I was into, that I loved, that I was like, Dad, I want to go see this band, like, get us tickets. I think that was the first
mine was Hanson.
And what was really cool, I loved Hanson, first of all.
Really?
Oh, who are
good
you?
Good friends
two?
Of mine.
What's happening right now? Where am I?
I used to do little guest spots on the Tonight Show.
Yeah.
When they would do sketches and stuff, I'd be like the kid they call to come in and do those. And I was doing one and I was obsessed with No Doubt at the time, and I'm walking in the backstage in the dressing room areas, and they've got the thing on the door. It says No Doubt, and I'm like walking, and I see it, and I was like, No Doubt. I was like, oh, that's cool. That's like my favorite. That's the name of my favorite band. You know, I didn't know like
I
didn't get that they were guests. I just saw like No Doubt. I was like, oh, that's cool because it's like a phrase and like people say it. And I'm like, oh, that's the name of my favorite band. That's really cool. And then when we got to the stage, they were rehearsing for the show that night.
Awesome.
And I was like, no way. That is Gwen Stefani right there. That is Tony Kanaan. Oh my God, this is so cool. And so I went to their dressing room and like knocked on the door. I'm like, hey guys, I'm on the show too. And I'm like a big fan. I don't know, how old was I?
10.
10.
Oh, God.
I went in there and like I got to hang out with them and stuff, and while they were signing and everything, and it was like the coolest experience. And then got to see them play.
Do you still have this?
I have them somewhere. Yeah, it's like all like I had.
You're gonna need to frame that.
I had them
bro.
Sign a dollar bill, my shoes, a Rolling Stone magazine, T-shirts. Like I overdid it.
They were so nice about it.
And there was a guy who played horns in the band. Like, nobody really knows him because he's not like the main four, but he's like in the band. And his name's Gabe McNair. He was like, yeah, man, like if we're playing Anaheim, like if you want to go, like I can put you on the list, like no problem, you know? And I was like, So the trombone player was like, yeah, no problem. And he gave us tickets and backstage passes. Well, not backstage passes, but like after meet and greet passes. And so we went and got to see the show, and Weezer opened up for them, and I had never heard Weezer before, and so I got to be introduced to like my favorite band of all time, next to the Beatles, and then got to see them after the show and everything. And
that's like classic TRL, like height of heights, beautiful moments. I want to just I want to bring it back to kind of the overall thing that we have a connection on is like my wife has taught me how, and my therapist has taught me how to have agency over myself. But when you're young and in the industry, you have to say yes. They get to do what they feel is necessary for them to create a product.
For the machine. Money. Yeah.
I had my version of that with my eyebrows. I had it with my body and all things. And you had it with yours. Mm-hmm. And it's just, we are telling these stories. And I'm going to speak for myself. I'll tell my stories because I'm writing a memoir of what happened to me. And it's not for sympathy. It's not for you to be like, oh my God, what happened? It's for you to understand what we went through so that it doesn't repeat itself.
Yep.
So that I can get these stories off of my shoulders that I've been holding in because I was told not to say anything at the time. But these are things that that have triggered me. And I didn't tell my version of it, but I'm just like extrapolating from what you're telling me. But like, things that change my behavior, things that change my mindset, things that I now say yes to even though I don't want to because I was told to just say yes when I was younger, that I had to learn it as an adult to be like, oh, I really don't want to.
Totally.
are you sure I'm not going to mess up your whole entire livelihood? Okay. And then I feel bad for saying no. Like the things that.
That's a tough one.
It's hard.
That's one when you hit a nail on the head with that one. Like you just, yes, okay, yes, yeah. Okay, yes, okay. Wait, I can say no?
Honey.
I can say no. And it's like even growing up too, like even as an adult, like with your reps, like sometimes you don't understand like I can't physically do it. Like I need a break.
Yeah.
Like I can't physically do it. Like I'm making myself sick. I'm making it. And sometimes they're like, why are you complaining? Like get on the airplane. I'm getting on the airplane too. I'm like, yeah, but you're not performing to, you're landing and sitting on your phone.
Your phone. Yeah.
Like you get there and you make sure like it's different. Like it's
you're
like
on.
Like, but being able to say no and then not feel like everyone hates you for it is nearly impossible.
It's still hard for me to say no. I'm still learning how to do it. I have a problem with like a
that's
lot
what
of
I
things.
I say to her a lot. Sorry to interrupt you, but I say to her a lot. I'm like, no is a complete sentence, and you can say it, and it's going to be okay. Like the world will continue on.
But in my head, it's crashing, and I've lost thousands and millions of dollars for other people and myself, and we have gone.
And
through...
people think that you are, or you think that people think that you're lazy. You're
difficult.
You're difficult. You're not responsible. And all this, and you're just like, dude, I need a week off.
But then I'll say this, Drake. I have been in the presence of the new generation of talent, and they are so quick to say no.
Yeah.
They are so quick to put themselves first that it actually disrupts the industry in a real way.
Yeah.
And so I find that there's this balance. Like I came up across someone, they didn't show up because they didn't wake up on the right side of the bed. It's like, I wake up on the wrong side of the bed every day and I still show up for work.
Yeah.
It's just that weird balance. But I'm so excited that I get to share that with you and have someone in the trenches. My wife is learning it too. And it's been an absolute pleasure to be able to commune.
Yeah,
with you.
It has. It's we're a rare breed. So
you guys are.
It's nice to, it's nice to talk.
Let's toast.
One more time. Sorry.
Toast. Okay.
Let's toast.
Today on the pod, we are toasting to. Hold on a second. We're toasting to you.
Happy birthday.
No.
Oh, it is my birthday coming up.
Oh, it is?
When?
Yeah, the 27th.
Oh, oh shit.
Very soon.
I thought you were serious.
No.
Like this is going to, like you knew that this was coming out later or something. I was like, oh, damn, all right.
No, maybe it will.
Good research.
Maybe it will coincide, right? Yeah. No, but today we're just toasting to you for being so honest and open and sharing your story and
thank you.
Just for being here.
And inspiring others to do the same. You, the vulnerability, the strength that you had to tell your truth and what happened to you has given me strength to write my own book, has given other people strength to come out and speak the truth. And it shows that no matter if you sit in a masculine body or a feminine body or an artist's body or a intellectual's body.
Are you an artist, Eric?
I self-proclaim.
You have the right to your own privacy and you have the right to go through whatever you go through.
Mm-hmm.
And I never want you to stop, even though I know how toxic that sentence is. I never want you to stop because it just shows how important it is for even the male side of the movement to speak up. And not a lot of them do because they're afraid. And I can see that fear in their eyes on their TikToks, on their Instagrams. And I'm like, yo, I know something went down with you and you're too afraid to say it. And that's a shame because other people need it to happen so that it stops the vicious cycle.
And I think that artists are...
Which you are.
But no, but in all seriousness, I think that artists are leading the world now.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that we have anyone else on this planet at this moment in time, politically, religiously, that actually can do that. And I think that artists are the people that are leading change, that are inspiring, that are offering hope, that are offering truth. And not to, as you said, put this on you guys, but you can't stop because we need you. So anyway,
thank you
for being here today, Drake.
Yeah,
it was
been
really
great.
Lovely.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Where can we find you, see you?
Everywhere.
Everywhere? All the socials?
I don't know.
What's your social?
Drake Bell.
There it is. Yeah. Are you on TikTok?
TikTok, Instagram. Yeah. But you want to hear something horrible?
I love horrible things.
All these people who make money on TikTok, how do they do that? Well, because they set up their TikTok in the United States. Well, I was dumb and set up my TikTok when I was in Mexico, and they won't let me change it to the United States, so I don't make a dime. But keep watching.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, yeah,
we need to call somebody.
Keep clicking.
Let's start the petition to get you.
You can't just open another one?
Well, I'm sure I can, but I have like 4 million followers.
Oh, that fucking sucks.
Do you have a contact at TikTok?
We'll help you out.
I've asked. I've sent emails. I've knocked on the door. I've gone into the offices.
Oh, my God.
And it's because, yeah, I set it up when I was in Mexico, and it put my region as Mexico. And then I was like, oh, cool, whatever. And then I was like, oh, cool, let me like set up like the creator fund and all this. And they're like, it's not available in Mexico.
Oh.
And I'm like, oh, well, then I'll just change my region. They're like, you can't. And I'm like,
You're so popular.
It's crazy.
You could shut it down.
I have things with like 80 million views.
You could set it up again. I have no doubt about it. You guys, thank you so much for watching Tea Time with Raven and Miranda.
Don't forget to comment, like, share. And if you have any other questions or want to put a toast, put it in the comments. We love you all. See you next time. Bye.